What is left after analysis is a dependently existent phenomenon. When, for example, you examine your own body, its inherent existence is negated. But what is left is a body dependent on four limbs, a trunk, and a head. Whenever we think about objects, do we mistakenly believe that they exist in their own right? No. We can conceive of phenomena in three different ways. Let us consider a tree. There is no denying that it appears to inherently exist, but we could conceive of the tree as existing inherently in its own right. Or we could conceive of the tree as lacking inherent existence. Or we could conceive of the tree without thinking that it inherently exists or that it does not inherently exist. Only the conception of the tree as existing inherently is wrong. The tree does not inherently exist in its own right. It is right to conceive of the tree as lacking inherent existence, and it is also right to conceive of the tree without thinking either that it inherently exists or that it does not inherently exist. Even though the modes of apprehension are right in these two types of conception, the mode of appearance is still mistaken in that the tree appears as if inherently existent. If objects do not inherently exist, does this mean that they cannot function? Jumping to the conclusion that because the true nature of objects is emptiness, they are therefore incapable of performing functions such as causing pleasure or pain, or helping or harming, is the worst sort of misunderstanding, a nihilistic view. As the Indian scholar Yogi Nagarjuna says in his precious garland, a nihilist will certainly have a bad transmigration upon rebirth, whereas a person who, albeit wrongly, believes in inherent existence will go on to a good transmigration. Allow me to explain this. You need a belief in the consequences of actions to choose virtue in your life and discard non-virtue. For the time being, the subtle view of the emptiness of inherent existence might be too difficult for you to understand without falling into the trap of nihilism, where you are unable to understand that phenomena arise in dependence on causes and conditions, which we call dependent arising. For the sake of your spiritual progress, it would be better for now to set aside trying to penetrate emptiness. Even if you mistakenly believe that phenomena inherently exist, you can still develop an understanding of dependent arising and apply it in practice. This is why even Buddha, on occasion, taught that living beings and other phenomena inherently exist. Such teachings are the thought of Buddha's scriptures, but they are not his own final thought. For specific purposes, he sometimes spoke in non-final ways. Because all phenomena appear to exist in their own right, all of our ordinary perceptions are mistaken. Only when emptiness is directly realized during completely focused meditation is there no false appearance. At that time, the dualism of subject and object has vanished, as has the appearance of multiplicity. Only emptiness appears. After you rise from that meditation, once again, living beings and objects falsely appear to exist in and of themselves. But through the power of having realized emptiness, you will recognize the discrepancy between appearance and reality. Through meditation, you have identified both the false mode of appearance and the false mode of apprehension.